I am Carlos Reutemann. Please listen F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 626, May 8th, 2013. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Tio Pepe, the finest from Jerez. Viva España.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, I agree with Flavio Briatore. Why an engine change in 2014? James Allison leaving Lotus F1. Was he pushed out? Will Kimi go for the money? And we've got Motorsports Mundial with the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Hello, or should I say hola en viva España edition to all our fans. The European season starting at 5 in the morning, Cali time. Sunday.
Yep, no, we're back to European circuits, which I love.
I look forward to getting up at early morning and enjoying the race. And I believe the NBC Sports will be showing the GP2 race. I think last time they showed on Saturday. I don't know how they will do it, but it's very nice. It's serene, it's calm, it's quiet, and I love it. 5 in the morning, cup of coffee or tea, and some Formula Uno.
Yes, no, I'm pretty pumped up about it anyway, and I want to thank Peter Brazier, obviously president of F1 Weekly European Operations, sent me the article, the interview of Flavio Briatore,
which we requested and he complied, which he always does. My many thanks to him. And hopefully we shall enjoy some fine Chablis at Spa.
Exactly. So great article, great interview. And Flavio made some good points. And one of the big ones was, why are we doing this engine change? What's wrong with the motor we have right now? This is going to throw in a lot of issues for some of the smaller independent team, especially teams like Marussia. Now, I believe in the rules, just like they did when we went from V10s to V8s, V10s were restricted but still continued to be used because some teams can't afford to go out and develop or get a Renault or a Mercedes or a Ferrari, because that's pretty much the three that's going to be available. There ain't going to be any Cosworth V6 turbos on the grid, Nas.
Or Jerd.
Exactly. So I think Flavio is right. I think this is a big change. It's going to cost a lot of money. And in the end, I thought we were supposed to save money, Nas.
Yeah, but you know what I've seen in motor racing and also in other forms of sports? They have to introduce changes. A change sometimes is good. We've seen this in NFL. We see in other sports. I guess it's the nature of the business to keep, you know, new fans coming in, create more excitement, create a debate like we're having right now. So I'm looking forward to it. I have very fond memories of turbo-powered cars in 1982. So that was fun. And they used to make a lot of noises. The BMW turbo and Brabham at one time was producing over 1,000 horsepower from a four-cylinder engine. So I'm looking forward to some exciting new changes.
No, absolutely. I think the motors are going to be great. Don't get me wrong. I'm just curious, who is Marussia going to be running? I'm sure they're going to still stick with the V10. I mean, the V8 Cosworth, and then have some restrictions on it. But still, we'll see what happens. I love change in Formula One. Don't get me wrong. And I think this is going to be exciting because it's going to be interesting to see who steps up to the plate, really, with a quality V6 turbo. Renault? Mercedes?
Renault has a lot of experience with this, so they should do a good job. But you know what I like to see is every rule is everybody has to have a V6 turbo. Let them have, you know, a four-cylinder turbo or whatever, a couple of even normally aspirated engines, like you said, with some restrictions to, you know, equalize the playing field. So variety is the spice of life.
Exactly. So there you have it. And that was a very good interview. And I'm glad to see Flavio is doing well. Anyway, let's talk about this James Allison leaving Lotus F1, being replaced by Mr., I believe, Chester. What do you think about this?
Well, this came as sort of a surprise because James Allison is a very well-known name in the business.
Not only that, but he was at Benetton. I mean, he's been involved.
He was with Ferrari also, I believe.
Yes.
In the Schumi days. So there are reports that he may go back to Ferrari. There are reports he may get to Mercedes. They are at Mercedes. They are collecting a lot of big-name people. So let's see what goes on. But the interesting thing is this news came out on Wednesday, and the guy who's replacing him is Nick Chester. According to Martin Brundle, this is good news. This is not good news for Kimi Raikkonen. However, and shockingly, the Finn is saying nothing on the issue, and it's all because he knows what he's doing. But I don't think this is good news for Lotus, especially as the European season is
especially
beginning.
With the rumors of Kimi going to Red Bull next year, because obviously Red Bull, we already know, have large bank accounts.
Yes.
And Kimi would be an easy person to approach and pay. I mean, they will just give him whatever he wants. Kimi could actually be the highest paid driver next year if he goes to Red Bull. And Kimi is not going to say no to that. Even though Lotus F1 don't have that kind of coffers, without Kimi, Lotus F1 is going to be in big trouble.
Well, you know, they have Romain Grosjean, who's a pretty decent driver, but of course they will be lacking a star power. And they can go and get Kevin Magnussen for next year, and he's a big name in terms of a famous last name. But, you know, obviously you have to have money to develop. And, you know, like I was reading, different teams are coming up with different gadgets. And it's like Frank Montani once said, he never drove a same Formula One car more than once. So if you don't have the money, you're not going to develop the package. And then you will be back of the grid like Marussia and Caterham.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me, Caterham.
Caterham and Williams even.
Yeah, that's a pretty sad story.
Yeah, it is a sad story. And let's talk about Williams a little bit. Of course, they're reflecting on last year's results. They're excited. Pastore, you know, he's probably texting Fernando about maybe some recipes and some tapas. But this is going to be an interesting weekend to see if Williams, now that we're back in Europe, can at least show us that they haven't lost anything. That they're, you know, I mean, I know it's an old team, great success, always at the top of the pinnacle in Formula One, and now it's almost like maybe somebody should buy them and help them.
Well, you know, they had a great chance, they meaning Frank Williams and Patrick Head, when BMW was trying to muscle in and take over the team. They should have sold it to them, or it was a very good chance to sell it to Toyota. And now with Toto Wolff gone as an investor, Frank Williams' daughter Claire taking over as the lady in charge, I don't know what the future holds for this team. It's a magical name and a very successful name in motor racing. And last year they won a race here, courtesy of Pastore, first win since Monty's, if I'm not mistaken, in
Absolutely.
Brazil. So it took a long time to get a win. It took a long time to get a pole with Nico, as we saw some years ago. But this is a very sad reflection. And now, again, there are rumors that maybe Honda may come back as an engine supplier or Toyota. I think they should seriously look into, if not a complete sellout, but maybe take on a major manufacturer as an investor. Otherwise, you know, sooner or later, they'll be like Marussia and Caterham.
I agree. Anyway, we have a great weekend coming up, and we know it's going to be another tire lottery. We know Lotus handles the tires well. We know Mercedes are really, really working hard to see what Lotus is doing and apply it to their car. And Pirelli is getting a lot of criticism, not just from the teams, but from the public. I mean, that is the talk of the town, is Pirelli's, they stink. They're dictating who the winner is going to be. And it's, like I've called it before, it's Formula Pirelli instead of Formula One. And Barcelona is famous for being somewhat abrasive. We're going to see high degradation, especially if the heat is up.
Well, they are bringing new compound, new tires to the place. So let's see what happens. As Niki Lauda said, nobody knows because it will be all new tires. And, you know, Barcelona, it's pretty very nice city, of course. And track is very nice, not too far from downtown Barcelona. And this is the place where Schumi scored his first Ferrari F1 victory in heavy rain, which shouldn't surprise anybody. But your local hombre, you haven't, I'm surprised it's a Spanish race, and you have not talked about Señor Fernando Alonso. Of course, will be the fan favorite, and he will be hoping to qualify and finish one spot better than last year. If you recall, last year he moved to the front row after his amigo NX teammate LCH lost his pole position for running on empty in Q3 for the 2012 Spanish Grand Prix, putting Pastor on pole. So I think this could be a very good race for Ferrari to show some muscles, you know, in the opening round of the European season and see what happens. And of course, Nando has a teammate. I don't think he's going to come between Nando and the checkered flag or second place or whatever he can do with his numero uno Ferrari.
Exactly. No, Fernando's going to do well here because he's in front of his home crowd. But Pastor, I think, could shine in qualifying and maybe be in the top 10. You never know. Pastor is a strange and moody individual, but still, Fernando, we know he's not going to be on pole. And he's not. He doesn't really care about pole position.
He'll be on the podium somehow.
He'll be on the podium for sure, but he has a good chance of winning this race even from fifth. Because of strategy, Ferrari's been doing pretty good at strategy this season. So, Fernando is basically the one to watch.
The one to watch. Yeah, you know, didn't he win the Valencia race from after starting 12th or something? So he, you know, this guy, you know, I'm beginning to think, and they say, you know, this car is very good on the tires. I'm beginning to wonder if it's the car or the driver. Because, you know, Kimi is very good. Smooth operator, so is Jenson Button, and of course Nando is in a class of his own. So it will be interesting to see how this thing pans out. Who knows, a little infighting at Red Bull could lead to open the door for Mr. Nando.
Yes, and a lot of people have been critical of Mark Webber. Should he step aside? Should he continue? Should he fight or just take the number two and tattoo it to his chest? But nevertheless, I think the podium is definitely going to be Vettel, Kimi, and Fernando.
I expect Nando. I expect one of the Red Bulls to win the race, Nando on the podium. I will not be surprised if we have a Mercedes on the front row after qualifying. But, you know, talking of Mark Webber, the 1980 world champion from Australia, Mr. Alan Jones has suggested that Mark Webber should treat his teammate as an enemy. And, you know, all I can say is, why start a war when you know you cannot win in the long run? And this website, Auto Racing One, keeps reporting that Mark has already signed a multi-year contract with Porsche for sports car racing, of course. And let's not forget, once upon a time, Webber was flying high at Le Mans in another car from the wonderful city of Stuttgart. You remember that?
I know. That was a great photo, and I'm glad Mark survived that. But I think Jones makes a great point. This lovey-dovey fest thing, I know it's the way it is, but I think a little meanness, maybe Mark Webber claiming that his teammate is his enemy, would actually put a little intimidation to Vettel.
What will that intimidation do? Instead of winning six races, he'll win seven races?
Perhaps. But still, Mark Webber needs to play the psychological game a little bit more, as Fernando does. I think Mark Webber is... This is some of his shortcomings. He's not aggressive. He's not smart off the track, where, like, Fernando, LCH, you know, even Vettel, always psychological games are always going on.
Mr. Host, I respectfully disagree with you. I think Mark is a smart guy, and I think it's his smartness that he does not... There's no point in getting down to Nelson Piquet-type level of talk. And, you know, he's a classy guy. I think he realizes what the problem is. He's just got a team. It's like Eddie Irvine once said, you know, when he was asked what will it take for him to beat Michael Schumacher. He said he has to go slowly. And, you know, Sebastian Vettel is not going to do that. So I think he realizes, he's smart enough to realize, I mean, you know, psychological games you can play. When if you put Nando and Hamilton, then Nando can play at Ferrari, then he can play psychological games because you probably have some support from the team. But if you're in a situation where you're not feeling lovey-dovey and there is some serious cage rattling going on, I mean, it would be like expecting Romain Grosjean to play psychological games with Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah,
the guy is not even going to listen to you.
Right, no.
So,
yeah, that's a completely different game because Kimi Raikkonen is incapable of being tweaked and prodded with psychological warfare. Yeah. He just could care less.
Yes, he's on his... I remember when Montoya, who was his teammate at McLaren, had left for America, and there were reports he may go back to IndyCars or NASCAR. Every time Kimi was asked, what do you think he will do? He had a standard answer. It doesn't affect me, so I don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, he could care less about this stuff.
Yeah.
I like that kind of style.
And, you know, talking of Kimi, winner of season opener in Australia, he will be a free agent at the end of the season. And like you said, there are a lot of talk that he may go back to Red Bull. There are two places he's not going. One is McLaren, and the other is Ferrari.
And, you know, and I concur with that, but I keep seeing on the internet and in some big publications that they include McLaren and Ferrari as a possible place for Kimi Raikkonen to go to. And I think that's ludicrous. Unless Sergio Perez really bombs and McLaren decides to spend a lot of money. But Red Bull has the biggest purse.
Yeah.
They have the best package.
Yeah.
Please.
You know, what I've seen, you know, and once I made a mention of a name and you didn't like that, so I won't do it this time. If you have the best package, then, you know, you don't need a Kimi Raikkonen or a Fernando Alonso to win a championship. You know what I'm saying? If the package is far superior. So I don't think McLaren would need Kimi Raikkonen right now. And Red Bull would be best because that's when we will find out how good Little Vettel is.
That's true. That would be the ultimate season.
Yeah, that will be the test. You know, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. Let's see who will freak out and who will squeal like a pig. And that can only happen with Sebastian Vettel, with one of two people. One is Kimi and the other is the Mercedes driver, artist known as LCH.
Well, I think that pig is going to turn out to be a sow.
Wow.
So, no, it's going to be exciting, and I'm looking forward to this Grand Prix after this long break. And I like Barcelona. Great crowd. It's going to
fantastic
be exciting.
Fantastic city.
It's going to be very electric, especially with the support that Fernando gets, and the two Mexican drivers will get a lot of support. Now, let's talk about our Mexican drivers, because Esteban Gutierrez, he's in Europe. He needs to start getting a little bit closer to Nico Hülkenberg, or he's going to lose his seat. Now, Sauber has been pretty patient. They're coming in with a new rear wing, and they're saying there's still not enough time to judge Esteban. Let's give him a little more space. But really, in Esteban's mind, he knows F1 is very serious business, and he better perform.
Well, he's been around the Sauber team, F1 team, for a few seasons as their reserve driver. So the environment is nothing new to him. But interestingly, I saw a note on his, gentleman who handles his PR, Mark Granados, real nice guy. I stayed in touch with him, and he had a note on his Facebook page a few days ago in Hinwil for a meeting at Sauber. And I'm sure there's nothing serious to that, just a regular during the season meeting. But he has done a few races, and two of them did not go very well, running into fender bender situation. He needs some time, like they all do. But I think, you know, now that the European season has started, he is racing at Barcelona, where he has won races, and pretty much will be the same with other European tracks. He really will have to step up to the plate and get, you know, very close to Hülkenberg's time. Otherwise, it's going to be a long, hard season for him. But, you know, the kid is very talented, and I think if you give support these talented drivers like Sergio Perez, I mean, his junior series career is far more impressive than Sergio Perez.
That's very, so, very true.
Yeah, so if he can be given the same lovey-dovey treatment, which I think Sauber will at least provide him the opportunity, ways and means, for this first season. But sooner or later, you know, you cannot run half a second slower than your teammate all season long, that's not a good sign of things.
I think the biggest test for Esteban will be Monaco. Finishing the race, staying out of trouble, staying out of the Armco barriers, because even top drivers sometimes go smack, 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 smack. Yeah.
Because, you know, all it takes for his confidence to come back is to, you talk about Monte Carlo, out-qualify Nico Hülkenberg and have a strong race finish,
boom,
fifth or sixth, while Hülkenberg is outside the 10. And then it will rattle Hülkenberg's cage and also give him a lot of confidence. I'm very convinced that this kid can make it happen. It just, you need some time. It's just, I feel about him like I did with Hülkenberg all these years, and also Romain Grosjean. And not everybody's going to be the next Schumacher or Sebastian Vettel, but I'm hoping that things will turn around for Esteban, and, you know, it will be a happy Mexican fiesta in Guadalajara with Perez, and in Monterrey, where Esteban comes from. And talking of Sergio Perez, I would, you know, he woke up in the last race, and a very pushy Paul. Against his teammate, and I would like to see this cage rattling continue a little bit more. But in a nice, decent, you know.
Yeah, but Jenson Button has already had the talk with him. Everything is fine.
Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Did Jenson buy him some miso soup?
Something like that.
I know what happened. Sergio sent Jenson a nice in-flight burrito.
Ah, that's good. See, now that's intelligence.
Yeah, and he was kind enough. He took out all the jalapeno.
Oh.
So it was nice.
That's good. Keep up the good work, Nass. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break.
Well, what about Silver Arrows? Do you want to any prediction how it will go between LCH
and Nico?
Pretty Boy Floyd?
I think it's going to be exciting.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah. Give me your thoughts, because to be honest with you, I think Nico is up to the task. He handled Schumacher, and LCH is going to be handled as well.
Well, let's see what happens during the season. But like, you know, Niki Lauda is saying that he is like one of many, many head honchos at Mercedes F1 team.
There's a lot of head honchos over there.
Yeah, he's saying the team will unveil a new livery in Barcelona, more silver and less gray. And he is going on the Jean Alesi program, adding new look brings new motivation. And so we'll see how the W04 Silver Arrows, which will have new exhaust, new front and rear wings, go. I will not be surprised if we see one of the cars on the front row.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. We know that it qualifies well. It's a fast car. It's dependable.
And I'm going to tell you, three laps before the first pit stop, I expect a lot of smoking tires from LCH.
I expect smoking tires. I expect banging wheels. And no, I think LCH and Nico are going to be a great team to watch. Obviously, Weber and Vettel. Is Weber shaken? Has Weber accepted number two? And, of course, Sergio Perez and Jenson Button. Sergio Perez, I believe, is going to qualify right next to Jenson Button. And you know what that's going to mean.
Cage rattling. In Catalonia.
Yes. So, no. There's a lot of things to look forward to here, my friend. So, are you ready for the burrito that I've got in the cafeteria?
Yes, sir. But where's the salsa?
The salsa is on its way.
Oh, good.
I've got a whole band coming.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. So anyway, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Are you in business and want to make a hard-hitting visual impact that gets your name and message promoted? F1 Weekly knows from experience that the creative team of Caton Designs are graphic design geniuses and a company that can give your brand a visual pop in a cost-effective way. Contact Caton Designs at ketondesigns.com for visual messaging solutions that get your business image seen.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Hello and welcome. Greetings and cage-rattling regards from MotoGP. That was fantastic. New kid on the block, Marc Marquez, plays Let's Get Physical with Jorge Lorenzo. And the mayor of Hinchtown lays down the law on the last corner of the last lap on the streets of Sao Paulo, Brazil. Did you see that, sir?
You know, I did not. I was busy. I was out of town. And there you have it.
Well, tremendous motorsports action last weekend. Please check out the last lap of both the MotoGP race and the IndyCar event in Brazil. Okay, let's start with racing on two wheels, shall we, sir?
Please.
The MotoGP season started in Qatar, where Jorge Lorenzo was the winner. Round two saw a maiden win for rookie Marc Marquez in Tejas. The two would meet again on the final lap of round three at Jerez. Danny Pedrosa took control of the race after passing Lorenzo, who started on pole. Late in the race, and this is where it got very, very exciting. Late in the race, Marc Marquez tried every which way to snatch second place from Lorenzo. Then came the final lap, or as they say on Rai Radio in Italy, Ultima Giro. Jorge Lorenzo did all he could to keep MM from getting a sweet deal on the podium. Then history repeats itself. On the final corner of the final lap, Marquez pulls a Rossi on Gibernau move and muscles Lorenzo off the track. A must-see and highly recommended on YouTube. The rookie took second and Lorenzo was left fuming but still on the podium. When Marquez approached him to shake hands in Parc Fermé, Lorenzo refused to shake hands with his compadre, saying, "No, no, no, I don't want to talk to you." He was really upset, and who can blame him? This is second successive 1-2 result for Repsol Honda team. Marquez, the rookie, leads. He's the LCH of MotoGP these days. Rookie leads the championship by 3 points over Pedrosa. Next round is at Le Mans, sponsored by Monster Energy, and they do it at the Bugatti circuit, what they call the Bugatti circuit. So, Mr. Rogers, please do check out. It's very, very, it's you know, shoulder to shoulder, physical, very impressive. Lorenzo used to run into this problem with Rossi when they were teammates. Now, Marquez is the new Rossi cage rattler, so, and I'm enjoying it very much. It's sort of a changing of the guard, you know. Now we go to south, and very south to Sao Paulo for IndyCar Festival. Caution after caution, but a great race as Sato-san looks set with some very heavy defensive driving to win again. He kept his cool as one driver after another tried to pass him for the lead. On the last lap, the self-appointed mayor of Hinchtown, James Hinchcliffe, took the challenge to Sato and put on a relentless pursuit, which paid off when Taku went a little slip and slide on the final corner. And that was all the GoDaddy driver needed to take his second win of the season. Now, remember somebody else used to drive GoDaddy car, and we don't recall winning races.
Yeah.
At high speed, at least.
Exactly. But I such think as that driver just got a divorce.
Oh, wow. But found love on the ovals. Okay. Last Canadian IndyCar victory in Brazil was back in 1998 when the winner was Greg Moore. Marco Andretti, teammate to race winner in Team Papa, was third man on the podium. Some other motorsports news related to Indy 500, which is coming up at the end of this month, Memorial Day weekend. Townsend Bell, who grew up in Los Altos, not far from the Palatial Studios here, will race at Indy 500 with Panther Racing. The pace car for this year's race is a blue Corvette, looking very nice. There was a time when the race winner would be presented the pace car, and I'm not sure if that tradition is still alive, and if somebody knows the answer to this, please send us a...
I know who would know.
PMGM posted on the forum.
I know who would know.
Who?
Christopher.
D. Hardy?
Auto Racer 5.
In Luling, Louisiana?
Yep. Where's Dick Trickle from?
He is from Pickle, Pennsylvania.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, talking of Indy 500, one must mention another great tradition, and that is the singing of Back Home Again in Indiana, and my favorite line from that song, "The new mown hay sends all its fragrance through the fields I used to roam." Very, very nostalgic.
And, of course, who's your favorite singer who delivers this beautiful song?
Well, I can answer the second part, who delivers the song, but he's not my favorite singer, Jim Nabors. And I heard last year, a couple of years ago, he was not feeling well, so they sent a crew to Hawaii where he was, recovering and recorded the song. So, pretty interesting. And you are teary-eyed when he's singing that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big Jim Nabors fan.
Yes.
Shazam!
There you go. Okay, back to Europe for Formula 3 action and DTM season opener at Hockenheim Ring. Folks, here is a name, Rafael Marcello, which a name you may be hearing a lot in the future, Raffaele Marcello, I should say. The Italian-speaking Swiss is in the Ferrari Young Driver program, and in his second year of F3, past season he won two of the three races at Hockenheim, winner of the third race was Felix Rosenqvist of Sweden. And this Raphael has been on my radar for a couple of years, did a very good job last year. And I think it was last year, early last year, I saw him on Facebook. I asked him if we could do a Skype interview. He says, yeah, no problem, but please contact Ferrari team first. For 14-year-old, 15-year-old, we have to do that. Okay, DTM, German Touring Cars, season opening race, of course, at Hockenheimring, featuring DRS, was won by BMW's Brazilian driver Augusto Farfus. Another Beamer driven by Dirk Werner was second, and Christian Fittoris was third in his Mercedes. Joey Hahn from Sacramento was seventh in his Beamer. Ex-F1 racer Timo Glock retired his BMW on lap 17. Lap 5 of 42 saw Robert Wickens out of the race in his Mercedes. And Robert Wickens is from Canada, a tremendous racing talent. He beat Jean-Eric Wern in World Series by Renault. He is one of the preseason favorites, so let's hope he can find his way back to the top line, Formula One someday. WEC World Endurance Championship from Spa. Audi 1-2-3 with André Lotterer, Bernard Trillier, and Marcel Fassler winning. Second was Tom Christensen, Loa Duval, and Alan McNish. Third Audi was driven by Lucas Di Grassi, Marc Chenet, and Oliver Jarvis. And Lucas Di Grassi is the gentleman who fought for the GP2 championship, a close fight with Timo Glock. How things change and drivers go in different directions. Okay, the Toyota of Ant, Anthony Davidson, Sebastian Buemi, and Stefan Sarrazin was third. Now we go to World Touring Cars Championship from Hungaroring. Chevy driver Ivan Muller, who is your homeboy, was the winner in race one. Rob Huff was the winner in race two, driving a Seat, a VW subsidiary in Spain. Seat was used to be a Fiat subsidiary. Now they have become a VW subsidiary. Mehdi Benani of Morocco was second in his BMW. So good for Mr. Mehdi. Back to the America, South America for Rally Argentina. This was very impressive. Sebastian versus Sebastian. Ogier got lobed. Your language.
Yeah.
Ogier got lobed this time in what was one of his last WRC outings. Sebastian Loeb took his eighth victory in the land of Fangio and Reutemann. Eighth victory in the same event. Very impressive. I think he's still unbeaten in Rally of Germany. Won many, many years. The Citroën driver finished 55 seconds ahead of fellow Francais and one-time teammate, but now driving for VW, Mr. Sébastien Ogier. Finn Jari Matti Latvala was third in another VW. And now we come to your favorite race.
Le NASCAR.
David Reagan led a Ford 1-2-3 at Talladega in Sweet Home, Alabama. Teammate and namesake David Gilliland was second. He is the guy who told Danica to shut up and race. Carl Edwards started from pole and finished third. This weekend, the boys and ladies will be racing at the egg-shaped one. This is interesting. Egg-shaped 1.36-mile oval, which beckons the question, why did the chicken cross the track too tough to tame? Do you have any idea why?
I have no clue. I'm not a big chicken crosser kind of guy.
Okay, I think she was trying to compete in the Tyson Chicken Tender 500.
That's exciting. Yes.
Now it's time for me to pluck out of the Palatial Studios. Thank you for listening and enjoy Formula Uno in Montmelo.
Thanks, Nas, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Now, I do want one update, and I think you have a couple of updates. Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Now, my first question before you jump into some of your supplemental.
Happy dos, happy tres.
Yes, exactly. Any news on Nelson Piquet Jr.? How's he doing?
Nelson Piquet Jr., you know, he took a shot just like his father and against Brian Scott, which has been played on TV and YouTube again and again. What can I say, you know? What can I say?
Well, I just thought you might have some news.
No, it's just, you know, his father owns a couple of businesses that make a lot of money, so he doesn't have to worry about pissing off a sponsor. Papa loves him. And I heard from somebody who knows the family very well that Nelson Piquet Sr. has a lot of affection for Piquet Jr. because he's carrying on the family tradition, the racing and all that. So he'll do anything to help this his son, one of his many sons. You know, he has children from three wives. But, you know, good for Nelson and his both papa and son.
No, I just, there was a rumor that Nelson Jr. Hanging around Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Well, Flavio made a comment similar to that when Piquet was let go from their team. So I'll pass on that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Happy dos, happy tres.
The European leg of the GP2 season starts in Barcelona after two flyaway races in Malaysia and Bahrain. Main title contenders are Fabio Laimer of Switzerland and Stefano Coletti of Monaco, who were very impressive and won races in the opening two rounds. Challenging for maiden wins will be Felipe Nasr and Alexander Rossi. And Rossi was very impressive in his first starting. He missed the opening round, but had a very strong race in Bahrain. So all the best to all these people. Happy Tres, GP3. This is the opening round for GP3 in Barcelona this weekend. Hoping to make a bid for the title will be Jack Harvey, who won the British F3 Championship last year, and Derek Daly's son Connor. He will be in his third year in the series and will also race in the Indy 500 later this month with AJ Forge team. So, which is good, racing on both, hedging your bets, racing on both sides of the pond. Both will be teammates at ART Grand Prix team, which is owned by Nicolas Tord and Frederick Vasseur, who has used to run a team in Formula 3 for years and years and years. Team MW Arden, owned by Mark Webber and Christian Horner of Red Bull fame, will feature two young talented Red Bull drivers, Carlos Sainz Jr. and Daniel Kvyat from Russia. Swiss team Jenser Motorsport will feature a lady driver from Venezuela, Miss Samine Gomez. Tio Alinas is a preseason favorite, especially after ruining Daniel Abt's championship glory in the season finale at Monza last year. Tio is with Marussia Minor team, and he's from Cyprus. Apparently, he was discovered by a new talent program run by or managed by our friend Mr. Peter Windsor. Carmen Jorda, who also used to race here, I believe, in Indy Lights. Hot-looking chica from Viva España is with Bamboo Engineering, along with Scottish talent Lewis Williamson, an ex-victim of Dr. Marco's machete. Finally, Finnish team Koiranen Grand Prix will have two strong drivers in the lineup, which includes their homeboy Aro Vainio and Kevin Korius from Estonia. So we're looking forward to the GP2, GP3, along with Formula 1 in Barcelona this weekend. So we'll see what happens.
Going to be a busy weekend, Nash. Keep up the good work. Let's go, Fernando.
Numero uno.
Exactly, Nasser. Thank you. I want to thank all the listeners as well. Good night.
Bye-bye. Adios.